You are listening to the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast. I am going to have a guest on today, one of my blogging friends and real life friends, Pam of brownthumbmama.com is going to join me and we're going to talk about gardening in general and gardening with kids. It's a really perfect episode for right now. I definitely learned a lot from her and I've always learned a lot from her and her blog and all of her gardening expertise. My name is Lisa, mom of six and creator of the blog and YouTube channel Farmhouse on Boone. Join me as I share with you my love for creating a handmade home from scratch cooking and a little mom and entrepreneur life along the way. Well, I am on today with Pam Farley from brownthumbmama.com. She is a friend that I've met in real life. I love saying that about internet people whenever I've met them in real life, and I've actually met quite a few. Pam is both a gardener extraordinaire, or what do you say on your blog, attempting garden? Or
natural living, healthy eating, attempted gardening.
Okay, because yeah, but you've probably gotten pretty good at it at this point, right?
Some years work out great, and some crops are terrible. You just got to keep trying.
That's probably how it is for almost every gardener. I know last year I watched somebody take all of her seedlings that she'd nurtured and then this big like tornado came through. So there's only so much you can control, but I know, I trust that you've gotten this down by now. But also Pam is the owner of a comic book shop. I was telling my husband about that and he was right away like, found that so interesting, and then he sent me this little comic book gardening thing that he saw. I'll have to send it to you.
Oh, cool.
He was like,
that's
what?
Awesome.
Gardening and comic book store owner. So he was impressed.
I love it.
So you said that your comic book store is currently closed, of course. Are there any steps, or do you know when that might be opening back up?
So the comic book store is closed. We're out here in California, and we're hoping to reopen next month, but we have a comic book subscription box that we ship to kids all over the U.S. So that's kind of a separate department.
Right. Yes.
And it's called comiccrate.org. And so we send comics to kids in Florida and New York and all over the Midwest. And so it's cool because it gives our little brick and mortar store a reach that we couldn't ever have gotten otherwise. So that's
right.
Been super
and that's,
fun.
That's something that's really helpful during times like this. So you have that going on.
And it gets kids reading, which is the most important part.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I need to check that out. My kids would absolutely love that. So
they would, yes, they would flip their lids.
They would. They definitely would. So you are a mom also. You have a daughter who I know as Peanut, but I'm sure she has another name.
She has a real name, but Peanut's way more fun. Yeah. And a teenage son who never comes out of his room very often.
Okay.
He just comes out to eat and then goes back in his room.
I hear this about teenage boys, so we'll see. I have four boys, so yeah.
You know, I was worried that he would be a sullen, grumpy teenager, and he's just as sweet as ever. He just, you know, wants to spend more time with his friends.
Yeah, so that's normal with kids.
It's wonderful. Yeah,
yeah.
He's a good egg.
good. How are you guys holding up through all of this? Have you started your? Well, you're in California. Are you in
I'm in
Sacramento?
California. We're in Sacramento, Zone 9. So I'm already harvesting strawberries. I'm already harvesting snow peas.
When do you start? Because like here, the non-cold weather things, so like tomatoes and those kind of things that can't handle frost, we can't plant that till typically. I've heard gardeners around here say after Mother's Day. Now, I already have mine in the ground, and that's just because I had them growing indoors, and I grew them too early, and so they were, like, growing
getting
into
leggy.
Each other and tangling
yes.
up and getting leggy. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to risk the frost. And it's actually, like, it was, like, a week ago I did that, and the whole 10-day shows no frost, so I should be good to go because that puts us into May. But we really shouldn't have planted yet. So when do you do that kind of stuff in Zone 9?
So we have, let's see, my tomatoes are in. Some years I start from seed, but you have to start the seeds for tomatoes and peppers in January. So I haven't been doing that lately since I have kids. But my seedlings are in the ground for tomatoes. I planted my garlic around Halloween, so it's already getting tall. It'll be ready to harvest in July. I have artichokes. I'm looking out the window in my front yard. I have artichokes in the front yard that are almost ready. There's all the stuff from seed I'm just now starting. So cucumbers. We're actually going to build a trellis for my cucumbers.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah. Cucumbers, zucchini, melons, peppers, all that stuff. It is 100% gardening time right now.
I guess you, well, yeah, it almost is here too. I guess you have an element of gardening year round then. Or what's correct. Your low temp? So you probably don't have much frost really, or?
We have frost, but there's like my parsley and things will overwinter. I can do carrots all year long.
Okay.
Broccoli and cauliflower, cabbage, that kind of thing. Because it doesn't snow. It hasn't snowed here since I was 3, so.
And you don't have probably frost every single night, but just.
No, yeah. Definitely not.
Right. So yeah, the stuff that I can probably start in March-ish, you can keep year round. So that's, yeah. I am assuming everybody around you would be a gardener. Like if I had that long of a growing season.
Right. I know, but there's so many lawns everywhere, but my neighborhood it's really cool. It's a working class neighborhood, so people are more open to not having a perfect lawn, and it's cool because so my office looks out over the front yard, and the front yard has vegetables in pots, and I have a little bit of yard, but I also have artichokes, and it's fun because lots of people are walking now because they're, you know, needing their exercise. And if they're out walking with like grandma or somebody, they'll stop and you can see grandma pointing out the vegetables, you know, and like all different languages. You can hear them talking like the grandma will say, oh, you know, look, she has, you know, this house has artichokes growing here and I'm going to put some tall sunflowers. So the kids that are walking will get a kick out of that.
Yeah. And stuff. That's awesome.
So it's neat to see.
You don't live on a farm per se. Do you just live on like, do you have like a half an acre or?
I am on a regular, well, a track house. I'm on a track house in the city. I can walk a quarter of a mile to a full size grocery store. Like okay. I am 100% awesome. In the city.
Yeah. And yet you grow a lot of your own food. Cause I know a lot of people feel like they have to be on like a farm or a homestead or something to do stuff like this. And
oh, that's true. And well, and our almost our entire backyard is swimming pool. So,
okay. So mostly just your front yard.
I don't have a big backyard to garden in like a lot of folks would assume.
Yeah.
I have 3 raised beds in the back corner behind the swimming pool. And then the best sun is in the front yard, but we have a big giant tree. So I do the artichokes, and then the strip of yard that's right next to the sidewalk is, of course, the best with the best sun. So that part, because the tree doesn't shade that part, so I usually do like pumpkins or butternut squash.
Just right next to
your... they just kind of grow right along the sidewalk.
So you just tucked garden in like every nook and cranny of your, yeah.
Absolutely. Well. Absolutely. And this is not one of those stuck up neighborhoods where the neighbors grumble about, you know, oh, there's a flower out of place. So yeah. Everybody's cool.
Right. And I mean, that seems to be sort of the culture of California, right? Or am I wrong about that?
It depends.
Okay.
Some of the more... I don't want to say, I guess, engineered neighborhoods, the ones that have the homeowners association and stuff. Those neighborhoods value sameness and order and yeah. things like that. And our neighborhood is all different cultures and it's all different kinds of people. And I figure, you know, the next door neighbor has those fake plastic deer in his front yard. So
yeah,
nobody's going to complain about my artichokes. Yeah.
Taking a quick break to tell you about an awesome podcast sponsor, Cozy Earth. I have been sleeping in my Cozy Earth bamboo pajamas every single night. I put them in the washer and dry them so that they're ready again because I cannot wait to go to bed in them. They are just so comfortable. Cozy Earth is offering Simple Farmhouse Life listeners 35% off your order with the code FARMHOUSE. Cozy Earth offers bedding products that will transform your sleep. Currently, I wake up 4 or 5 times every night to nurse the baby, and so it's important to me that I have a comfortable bed to get back into to fall asleep more quickly because my sleep can be so interrupted. Cozy Earth bedding is temperature regulating and it has superior softness. All products come with a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty. Incorporating Cozy Earth products into your self-care routine can enhance your sleep quality and overall wellness. Treat yourself to the ultimate in comfort and indulgence with Cozy Earth bedding and sleepwear and prioritize your self-care and sleep. You can head on over to CozyEarth.com and use the code FARMHOUSE for an exclusive 35% off. Go get your mom the luxury she deserves at CozyEarth.com with the promo code FARMHOUSE.
I take great care in my home to source products that are healthy, natural, organic, that will promote overall health. Alongside cooking from scratch, there are some foundational things like clean water and clean air that are as important as any of these other things. Americans take about 20,000 breaths per day and spend an average of 90% of their time indoors. My kids, they spend a ton of time outside, but I spend a lot of time inside cooking. I try to keep the window open, but still, the indoor air that we breathe can be up to 100 times more polluted than outdoor air, according to the EPA. Indoor air pollutants can cause respiratory symptoms like sneezing, congestion, scratchy throat, and even more serious health problems like lung and heart disease. So what is the solution for this? I want to tell you about this podcast sponsor, Air Doctor, the air purifier that filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses. We have an indoor cat, we have pollen, and who knows what else around our house. So this just gives me peace of mind knowing that running Air Doctor will get rid of 99.99% of dangerous contaminants. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE and you'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. Exclusive to podcast customers, you will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code FARMHOUSE.
So you have some resources on your blog and also in a course, I believe, or a book on gardening and gardening with kids. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
So I have a brand new ebook called Get Your Garden Started, Vegetable Gardening for the Beginningest Beginner. It's for everybody who thinks they want to start a garden, but there's a lot of questions that beginning gardeners have that nobody seems to answer because they think you know it. Things like, do you have to plant seeds right side up? And what does full sun mean? Things that people might not, in the regular garden books, think that you know things. And there's no such thing as a dumb question. It's important to me. I always tell the kids that. The only dumb question is one that you don't ask, because it's always better to ask and learn stuff than to just guess. So the things that we talk about in Get Your Garden Started is like, how do you get your soil ready? How do you figure out where to plant things? How much space do you need? You know, can you put a zucchini plant in a 5-gallon bucket from the hardware store? If you don't have a lot of water, if you have water restrictions, what kind of vegetables can you grow? What bugs are good and what bugs are bad? How do you keep cats out of your garden bed in the city? That's a thing.
Yeah. For me. Oh yeah. No, we had that issue at our last house, and we lived on a quarter acre, cats that wanted to use the corner of the garden as the litter box.
And I love the kitties, but no, this is not your personal bathroom kitty.
No, and it's
Darn
not.
You.
Another a question I had when I first started gardening, and I remember asking my husband's grandpa, because he was like the closest person to us that garden, was how do I tell which ones are the seedlings and which ones are the weeds? And he would laugh at me. And now I
it's
get it.
True.
I know exactly what they all look like. I can see what it is. But at first, like, it all these little tiny green things, how do you know which is which?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So one of the things that I do is, because every now and then you'll find your seedlings have just been like snipped off at ground level because a cutworm has gone and eaten them.
Oh, okay.
So when I plant a seed, I cut a toilet paper tube in half and I sink the tube halfway into the ground. I put the seed in there and then I sprinkle some soil so the cutworms can't get to it. And then I know that that's an actual seedling.
That's
inside
a really
the toilet
good idea
paper
because
tube.
In the beginning, they don't need sunlight. They just need water, right? I mean, like seedling. Like they need it once they
it'll
pop
grow up. Yeah.
But yeah, but they don't really need it until, like, mostly just soil and water at first.
Correct.
And so yeah. That's because I told Luke, like, that's one of the reasons one of the only reasons I like growing seedlings indoors is that when you go to put them outside, you know where it is, you know what you have, a good
yes.
recipe from the nursery. So that's a really good tip because I like starting seeds outside because they do better. Mm-hmm. But I always hate that I have to like can't figure out where everything is. And now, like I said, I know what each thing looks like, but still it's hard to see, you know, what you have where.
Yeah, and when they sprout up, they're tiny, and then, you know, with my luck, a weed will grow right next to them, and then
right.
the weed wins.
To,
and
you have to play surgery, like do surgery, getting that out. So we were going to zero in a little bit on gardening with kids in this
yes.
particular episode. So what are some of your top tips, or what have you done to facilitate that interest in kids?
Well, most kids... And it depends, but most kids love getting outside and playing in the dirt, and a lot of the seeds that of things that kids will eat are big enough that they can physically plant them. So things like peas or snow peas, green beans, usually our kids love cherry tomatoes and strawberries. Cherry tomatoes I would buy a seedling from the garden store, of course, but... even cucumbers, the seeds are big enough that mm-hmm. they can poke them into the ground. They can make a little sign. I've found that, like, even though the kids won't, like, if you set a plate of green beans in front of them at dinner, they might, you know, but we've had years where we would grow green beans up a big trellis, so that's pretty fun. They can watch
yeah.
them grow tall. And if you bring them out in the garden with you when it's time to pick, and you nonchalantly start eating a green bean right off the plant, they just might start eating a green bean right off the plant also.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're, you know, just don't make a big deal about it. Just casually start eating, or snow peas or cherry tomatoes, or so they just start grazing through the garden and eating vegetables because they've had a hand in growing them. That's just the coolest thing.
I agree. Most of my kids really aren't picky, but I do have a 7-year-old boy who he'd rather wait for anything that he sort of likes. You know, he'll like pick through and eat what he likes the best. Like,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
He's pickier. But whenever he goes out, he's the most interested in gardening also. And whenever he goes and picks a basket of something, he's right away interested in eating it. Like
Yay.
Last week we went and foraged mushrooms, and he doesn't like mushrooms, but now he wants mushrooms on his pizza, you know, because we found it. But same with gardening, whenever they have a hand in it.
That's awesome. Yeah. And you don't need a lot of fancy equipment. I recommend that gardeners have a watering can, a cobra head, which is a little hooked weeder, all-purpose garden tool, and that's, you know, and maybe a good trowel that's made of steel and won't break. Those are all things that kids can use. They get a kick out of watering things. It's an activity that you can do together that you don't have to, you know, stop them from, you know, there's no warnings, there's no, you know, don't eat the dirt, but it's
depending
not
on who
a,
you talk to. some people will tell you, you know, have you ever seen that Dr. Josh Yax book, Eat Dirt? It's like, just kidding. But yeah.
Oh, Dr. Maybe they Axe. Should.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can't, even in the city, there's,
it's a good, safe activity. Yeah.
It's, yeah, exactly. And it's something you can all do together. And of course, if you can talk to grandma and grandpa about it, most grandparents have gardened and will get a kick out of talking about, you know, gardening by the signs, or the sign, you know, signs of the moon kind of thing, uh-huh. or what to plant when. My grandpa used to tell me, oh, you know, always plant your garlic around Halloween time, plant
and
your
that's,
potatoes.
Could you grow up, did you grow up in California?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you have, because I've never heard plant like much of anything around that time. Maybe.
That's true. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, and potatoes at St. Patrick's Day.
Okay, yeah, that's when I've always heard too. That's when, okay. Yeah, plant potatoes at St. Patrick's Day. So what do you recommend as far as tilling versus container gardening versus raised beds, which is what we have going on at our house?
Yeah, so a lot of that will depend on your situation. If you're in an apartment, then container gardening is the way to go. And you can grow tons of vegetables in containers. If you're, maybe you're renting and you don't want to do anything to the yard because you're not allowed to, again, containers or some large, like the cattle waterers kind of turns into a raised bed because it's so big. My next door neighbor, even though they own their house, they just do a few containers in the front yard. They do tomatoes and basil. Because that's, yeah. And that's perfect for them. Because even if you're just growing a few herbs in a pot on your windowsill, you're going to save tons of money from buying it at the store. And it's going to taste so, so much better because it's fresh.
Well, haven't you heard there's two things that money can't buy? True love and homegrown tomatoes.
I love it. No, I haven't.
Like, you can't. Homegrown tomatoes are different than store-bought tomatoes. And so I think everybody, you know, you have to grow tomatoes.
Because the ones that are in the grocery stores have been specifically bred to not crush during shipping and things like that. And so, and they have to pick them a little earlier, a little bit before they're ripe.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you can get your own tomatoes right out of the backyard, it's a game changer. Like, people just don't even.
Yeah, I don't really even like tomatoes that much other than homegrown ones.
Absolutely. Yeah, even things like cucumbers and carrots taste better.
Uh-huh.
I've grown jicama in the past, which usually has to be imported from Mexico. And boy, when you grow it yourself, it's like fresh,
a whole different
and
thing.
Crisp and oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure. And what about soil? Because I know, like, my sister, when they bought a subdivision house, they went and they tilled the ground, and that year, all of their tomatoes that were supposed to be like this, were. I'm making motions to Pam here about
yes.
the size. They were supposed to be huge. They were tiny. And, of course, over time, they amended their soil, but I think with subdivision, a lot of times they sell off the topsoil. And so, like, they just did not have good soil. And what do you do over time to amend your soil to make it better? Or if you do a raised bed, what do you fill it with?
Oh, that would be, I've had years like that. That's super frustrating. So there's a couple of ways you can go. Almost every county has a county extension office associated with a local university, and you can actually have your soil tested. So if you want to just till up your soil and scoop up a scoop and send it to them, they can tell you what it needs. Or you can't ever go wrong with tilling in some homemade compost, and I teach about that on Brown Thumb Mama. Or you can just get some bags of compost or manure at the garden center and just till those in. You really can't over amend your soil with natural things. You can over chemically fertilize, and I don't recommend using chemical fertilizers, but it's darn near impossible to add too many good things to your soil.
Yeah, and even if you start with good soil, because I know when where we lived before, we just tilled a big plot in the backyard. We didn't put in any raised beds, and it the first at least 3 or 4 years, we had like amazing crop because it was an old house, like a 100-year-old house, and like nobody really ever did anything with the yard. So I don't know, wow. it was just good soil.
But then, of course,
over time, we never really did much to amend the soil. And I'm learning, you know, obviously now that you have to do something pretty much every year because the plants will take nutrients to ripen and grow.
Yes. And we've lived here for 22 years now, and I had amazing crops in the beginning and I didn't add anything to my soil either. And then I kind of realized that, you know, like all my potatoes were the size of golf balls,
right.
And I, you know, something's wrong. So then I started adding things. I started a compost bin, and a friend of mine brought a load of horse manure from where he was learning to ride horses, and I let that compost down, just adding different things in over time. And then when we got the new-ish couple years ago raised beds, then I used a 50-50 soil and compost mix from we have a rock quarry, one of those buy soil by the truckload kind of places.
Yeah, that's so. What we actually did this year. We built some raised beds, and we did a combination. We got a truckload each of compost and topsoil. And so I know like this year will be good. And then we started a compost bin, which we hadn't done yet since we moved here. And we're just obviously throwing in all old, you know, veggie scraps and coffee grinds. Luke's going to be throwing in some grass clippings and maybe like ash and from when we do burn piles and leaves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I guess we'll put that in by next year. One year we amended the soil. We went out to my parents' property and got a whole bunch of manure. And I never had such bad weeds as I did that year. I think they like ate something certain. I don't know, but it was like the gnarliest year as far as weeds went. So I'm like,
gun shy
on that now, even though that
was
like.
Your compost has to get really hot. Yeah, that's the hard part. And my compost does not get hot enough to kill all the weeds.
So would you recommend like, now, because I always think of things at the wrong time of year. So maybe like now I should go gather manure for next year.
You definitely wouldn't be able to use it right away because it would be too high, and I believe it's nitrogen and it would burn your plants.
Yes.
So whenever you gather manure, you have to compost it down.
I think we had done it in the fall that year, but like I'm wondering about even thinking further ahead, you know, like
sure.
We're doing our compost bin, but we have a lot of raised beds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So I'm like, that won't be enough to amend the
soil. Well, you
can
do a three bin system. So you've got the first bin is where you just throw in all the chunks of, you know, all the tops of the zucchinis. And then as it breaks down a little bit, you fork it over to the next bin. And then, so there's more information about how to do that on
Brown
we'll
read up
Mama.
On that on your blog.
There you go. Yeah.
I'll leave all the resources. I'll have you send me a list of ones that you want me to put down in the show notes.
Oh, perfect.
But yeah, I'll leave all this in the show notes because I'll want to read more on your composting because we've always done a composting pile, but I'm not ever sure we've done it properly.
It's not terribly scientific.
Okay.
Just put in greens and browns. Don't put any carnivore poop in there.
Yeah.
You'll be okay. There's all kind. I have a list of 21 things you didn't know you could compost, like the shavings from your pencil sharpener and like just crazy stuff like that. If you cut everybody's hair at your house, you can put the hair in there.
That's true. I never would have thought of that.
It's just
kefir grains too. We end up with so many because I'm like milk. I make milk kefir all the time, and I always have just an overabundance. So that's another thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool.
Good
so
stuff.
Any other tips or takeaways you can think about for gardening with kids?
Definitely keep them involved. You can talk about the bugs that are in the garden. Kids love bugs.
They sure do. My kids they've been pulling all the worms out of our garden because they're, you know, I'm like, put those back. They're
yes,
like,
those are important.
Collected? I'm like, no.
No, the worms belong in the garden. But ladybugs, and we had one year where the aphids were so bad on the watermelons, so we actually went to the garden center and bought a bag of ladybugs and released them.
Oh.
And they just, the kids just flipped. They thought
and
that was so much fun.
Takes care of the aphids on, like, watermelon squash. That's where you usually see those, I feel like. We've had them bad before. And ladybugs are good for that?
Ladybugs are one of the ways, the most effective way is to wash them off with the hose first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
Because the adult ladybugs don't eat as many aphids as the ladybug babies do. Ladybug babies look like little, like, prehistoric dragon monster thingies.
Huh,
they're
so
cool. They're really neat. And they can eat aphids like nobody's business.
Okay. So
the adults, and of course the adults will fly away, so that's not terribly helpful.
Yeah.
But it's cool. You know, it's worth $7.99 to talk, you know, show your kids and release them and they
talk about what they're gonna do. Yeah.
Exactly. And how we don't need to use pesticides. We can use there's a bunch of natural ways you can get rid of aphids, which I also talk about on Brown Thumb Mama. So you don't have to use chemical fertilizers, you don't have to use chemical weed and bug killers.
Awesome. Well, tell us more about your gardening resources that you have available.
So there's tons of stuff on brownthumbmama.com. I have instructions on what you can plant each month. So for example, the vegetables you can plant in May is coming up, and it'll go through the right bit, what to plant in from seed, what to plant from seedlings, and what varieties work best in different situations. Like if you're gardening in containers, there's certain varieties of zucchini that do better in a container. They're more compact. You can grow almost anything in a container. And so what I've done, so the gardening book is called Get Your Garden Started, and that is an introduction to gardening for the very beginningest gardener. And it's also part of the Ultimate Vegetable Gardener Bundle, which the bundle has Get Your Garden Started ebook, and it has planting charts that tell you what to plant every month for the entire United States.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. So no matter where you live, or I've had some military families say, oh my gosh, no matter where we get stationed, I just look in my book and I know, oh,
there you go. Yeah.
I know what to plant this month. I'm in a totally different area than I was last year. So the bundle has Get Your Garden Started, the vegetable garden planting schedules, zones 3 through 10. So anywhere you live in the lower 48, you're covered. Also my introduction to composting booklet, and then a freebie of vegetable garden companion plants, because just like people, some plants get along better together than others, and some plants should be kept apart. So it's like a little reference sheet that helps
look
you
at
know.
That.
There's some things that will not grow well together. Like you don't plant potatoes and tomatoes together.
Okay.
But you do plant strawberries and chives together. So it's fascinating.
Okay. Yeah, I did not know that. And I do know that certain ones maybe deter certain things that will target. And so you would, like, that would target something else. You would plant the thing that deters it next to it.
Some of that goes
on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah, there's lots of neat things. Like there will be bugs in other places in the garden, but there's no bugs on the garlic plants. Because nobody wants to take a bite out of the garlic leaves. All the bugs are like, oh, I'm staying away from those. This year, I just planted the garlic in a block, so a 3-foot by 3-foot block. But in prior years, I tried, garlic and onions are both pretty repellent, and so I planted a zucchini plant, and then I did like a little fort of garlic plants around it just to see if it would work. But you harvest the garlic in July and the zucchini is just getting going. So it didn't really work. But I've been experimenting in the backyard garden for 20 years. So I've got lots of advice to share.
This is something that obviously people have been doing for ever
exactly.
to survive.
Yes.
So we have age-old wisdom to pull from.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to leave all of the resources we've talked about from Pam down in the show notes so that you can check them out and hopefully get your garden going this year and get your hands dirty with your kids, get them involved in the process of growing your own food, and maybe you'll find that picky eaters will be eating some vegetables.
Yay!
Yay!
That's a win. Well,
thank you so much, Pam, for joining me on here. I really, truly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
All right, well, thank you so much for listening. Again, I will leave all of these resources from Pam down in the show notes, and I hope that you're able to get out in the sun and get gardening. This week is a perfect time to get started. As always, thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode of the Simple Farmhouse Life podcast.